I am honored to introduce you our next panelist. I work alongside her at APAJ. Michelle Late is the executive editor, rather, of the Nation's Health APHA's newspaper and a member of the association's social media team. A longtime health journalist, Michelle serves as administrator of APHA's At Public Health Twitter account. Who follows At Public Health here in this room? Great. And again, I'm going to brag. Michelle really built something out of nothing. APHA now has over 140,000 Twitter followers. So I hope others are enthused to hear from Michelle Late. Thank you.
Okay, so as Audrey mentioned, I am the executive editor of the Nation's Health newspaper. I have no financial relationships to disclose. And I'm here today to talk to you about Twitter. This is me on Twitter. As you can see, I don't have many followers. So right about now, you'd be wondering, why are we listening to this woman who has no followers and works at the Nation's Health talk about Twitter? And this is why, because this is also me. While none of you in this room probably follow me on my other account, looks like a lot of you follow this one, which is great. So my plan today is to talk to you about APHA's experience on Twitter and then share some tips with you based on what we've learned. But first, some quick facts about Twitter. In short, Twitter has been around for more than 5 years. It started off pretty slowly. Back in 2007, there were only about 400,000 tweets a quarter. And now, as of this summer, there are 200 million tweets per day globally. Big change. This summer, the Pew Internet and American Life Project put out a report with some new statistics on Twitter users. If you're not familiar with this project, I suggest checking them out. They're a great source of information. Some of the highlights of the report were that 13% of adults online use Twitter, which is pretty impressive. Some other findings were that Twitter users vary by race and ethnicity, and by age, and the usership of Twitter continues to evolve. APHA has been on Twitter for quite some time, since 2007. We have 5 Twitter accounts: At Public Health, Get Ready, National Public Health Week, the annual meeting, and our newest one is The Nation. Our first Twitter account was, as I mentioned, started in 2007, in June 2007. And if you're not familiar with Get Ready, it's our preparedness campaign. It's been a real place of innovation for APHA. It's where we had our first blog and our podcast. So it was a natural place to start out our first Twitter back in 2007 when this was this crazy new thing that nobody knew what it was. 3 days after registering Get Ready, I registered at Public Health. At the time, I had no idea what we were going to do with it, I'll be honest, because back in 2007, things were pretty quiet out there in the Twitterverse, but I thought there was potential, so I reserved the name. And for the first 6 months, I didn't tweet anything, but when I finally did get going, we only tweeted 60 times the first year, which, compare that to now, where I've tweeted 650 times already this year on Public Health. I was able to go back and find out how many times I tweeted and what I tweeted about using a third-party tool called TweetTake when I was putting this presentation together. It's one of the many third-party tools that are out there for Twitter, and it's free. That one in particular lets you export a copy of everything you've ever tweeted, so it's pretty handy. The reason I use a third-party tool is that Twitter doesn't offer analytics, so all these other companies over the years have filled the void, but that's going to change. Twitter announced on its blog recently that it's going to offer its own analytics. But for right now, these other tools are filling the gap. So eventually, we started tweeting more, and more people joined Twitter, and our followers grew and grew. This is our growth for two this year. Right at the bottom here, you can see in January, we started off with about 63,000 followers, and as Audrey mentioned, we're about 140,000 right now. One of the big reasons for growth this year is that back in March, Time Magazine named At Public Health one of the 140 best Twitter feeds. This is a complete surprise. Thank you. Yeah, we were extremely surprised, but we were very, very, very excited. And it led to a lot of growth and attention for us. Some of the other top health accounts that they named were the National Science Foundation, The Lancet, Michael Pollan of Omnivore's Dilemma, so we're in really good company out there. So if Time Magazine doesn't name you the best Twitter out there, how can you tell how well you're doing? You can always look at the number of followers and retweets and who is following you, and you can also use some of those third-party tools I mentioned. This one is called Twitalizer, which says that App Public Health is in the top 99% of all Twitter users, which is nice. Others you may have seen include Clout. It's probably a real popular one. You can also gauge your success the old-fashioned way. This summer, we did a survey on App Public Health, and if you're a follower, you probably saw this tweet go by a few times. Our participation in the survey was very, very low. We had about 120 respondents, but we did gain some interesting feedback. Overall, our followers rated App Public Health highly. 16.8% rated us very good, 55.2% rated us good, and only 2.1% rated us somewhat poor. So if you have some stats, what do you do with them? For App Public Health, it's helped me and the association decide what we want to tweet about. In general, I can say, you know, I'm influenced by what's going on in public health, studies, announcements, what's in the news, what APHA is working on, the association's priorities, what may be used to public health workers in the field. But I'm also influenced by what people respond to. This is a word cloud that I generated. I use some other third-party tools out there. One of them is called Tweet Cloud. Shockingly, I tweet the word public health a lot. One of the other tools I use to track what response people have to our tweets on at Public Health is Hootsuite. I know this is really teeny, but TweetDeck is another popular option. It's an easy way to see who is talking to you and retweeting you and to respond to them really quickly. And it's also a great way to stage tweets ahead of time so that they auto-publish when you're not at your desk and if you're at a conference, for example. Another popular way to track Twitter followers and interactions through URL shorteners. Here are some of the shorteners that are out there. Google, Bitly are particularly popular, and you may have noticed that during the last month, all of the URLs in your Twitter feeds have started showing up as t.co. That's because Twitter is doing this in advance of the launch of its own analytics, which is in sort of limited release right now, but I'm thinking, you know, it sounds like maybe in the next month or so, so there's a lot of excitement about that. But in the meantime, all of us have been using URL shorteners as a way to track links. And this is, and Chad, I looked really teeny in the back, so you don't have to focus on the numbers, but here's a look at some of the analytics and URLs I've shortened using the Google shortener. You might think with 140,000 followers that we get thousands of clicks on each link, but that's not true. These are really typical numbers. If you can't read this, it's about 40 to 80 clicks. It's really small. Generally, people don't click on links. They forward a lot and they retweet and they talk back to you. But I think it's important to include a link, but keep in mind that you need to be real precise in what you're saying because chances are they're not going to click on it. We do occasionally get some higher numbers. I know that's real small, but in the 100 to 140 range. This one in particular was an interesting one. Right after the East Coast earthquake, we tweeted this an hour later. It said, you know, do you know what to do when an earthquake happens? And with, you know, 390 clicks, it showed a lot of people didn't on the East Coast. This is another one. We tweeted when Hurricane Irene was going up the East Coast about flooding, and that got a high click rate too. It was about 449 clicks. What's really great about these URL shortener tools, and this one is I'm showing you is Google, but you can get the sort of same information from Bitly as well, or whichever other the other shorteners that you use. You can click down and see some more details. So this is a tweet that I put out. You probably saw about the new CDC comic book on zombies, and that got a high click rate. And if you click on that little link on the right where it says details, you can see things like where people came to when they clicked on your link, what day they clicked on it. Generally, clicks, they don't have a long life. Like the first day is pretty much when they're clicked a lot. After that, it sort of goes downhill, as you can tell from there. You can also see where they're clicking from, what country they're in, and up in the top right there is nice on Google. You can get a QR code if you wanted to share that link for something. By using tools such as these, I've made changes to what I tweet at Public Health and when. I learned that career-related tweets are very, very popular, and that followers like health observances, and also that they like personal health tips. You know, at first I started out saying, oh, people only want things about their job, but then the one clicks about personal health just started going really high. So whether or not you're clicking on them because you're interested or to share with your groups that you work with, those are also clicked on a lot. The bottom line is if you aren't taking advantage of the free tools out there, you're missing out. A few quick tips on what I've learned as admin of Public Health. So number one, interact with your followers. Twitter is social media, If you're just posting things and not responding and interacting with people, you aren't social, you're a bulletin board. And this it's a little complicated, but some of you probably already know this, but one way to be social is through at replies. Some people are afraid to do at replies because they don't want to clog their followers' news feeds with personal conversations. But the truth is, Twitter has set it up so that unless your followers follow both you and the person that you're replying to, it won't show up in their news feed. For example, if I send an email, a reply to Miguel that said, "Hey Miguel, how are you?" to AIDSGov, unless you're following both me and AIDSGov, you won't see that. And that Twitter set that up so that groups of friends could talk to each other without annoying everyone else in their newsfeed. It's not completely private. If you're if you go to twitter.com/publichealth, you're still going to see the conversation. Or if you're following it on a reader, RSS reader, you're still going to see it. So it's not a DM, but it's a little more private. If you want the conversation to show, you can put a period before the at reply. For example, a few weeks back, I got a tweet about, she may be here in the audience, from someone who wanted to know if we were going to have a lactation room here at the annual meeting. And instead of just replying back to her, I put a period in front of it because I figured, oh, I bet a lot of other people want to know that. So another tip, if you're linking to a PDF, you should say so. The reason is, I don't know if you ever clicked on a link and it starts to freeze and spin, you're like, oh no, I'm downloading a virus. So if you just tip people off first, they'll be a little less frightened when they click on your link. Tweet morning and afternoons. Surveys have shown that there's a lot of Twitter users in California and the West Coast. If you're on the East Coast especially, don't just tweet in the morning. That's why a lot of times on at Public Health, I'll do something like 10 a.m. East Coast time, then 1 or 2 later in the day, so just so I can catch the different time zones. Pick the right person to be your admin. This is kind of obvious, but if you pick someone to be in charge of your Facebook tool who is not on Facebook and hates it, doesn't get it, it's going to show. I love Twitter. I'm a Twitter addict. I think that shows. You know, I'm tweeting like 11:30 at night last night. So that's really important. I recommend that you follow Twitter's blog. If you can't see that, it says blog.twitter.com. A lot of the statistics I got on Twitter and information about the analytics they're launching are there. It's a really great resource, and of course you can follow their main Twitter account. So if you hate Twitter, that's fine. There's other tools out there. APHA is on all of them, so there's a tool for you. Our Facebook's very popular. And if you need to reach me, you can of course send an email to @publichealth, or that's my email address. Thank you.